All right, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as we continue on our study. We're going to look at just one verse today, verse 2. But I want to start in verse 1. We'll read verse 1 and 2 as we read these. And I want us to think a little bit. I want us to concentrate on the Word of God. And maybe not be thinking about what we're going to be doing later, although it may be fun. All right, that's for the young people here. We might be looking forward to it. I mean, we're going to be out there. It might even be a hockey game, or we might just be skating around racing. Let's take all that. Let's put it on the shelf over here for a minute. All right. And now let's concentrate on the Word of God, because this is the most important thing that you're going to hear today. Amen. The Bible says here in verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to be here today. Thank you, Lord, so much for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that you'd use me. I pray, Lord, I would say nothing. I would do nothing. And Father, that would draw attention to myself, or Father, take the attention away from you and your word. I pray, Lord, that you would be the one we're focused on today, Father, and we would be challenged from your word, and it would find some good soil, Father, to take root in our heart, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd keep the distractions away. And Father, I pray that if it be me that might be distracting, Father, that you would silence me, Lord. If it be something else, Father, I pray that you just keep those distractions away. And Father, just help us to focus on your word here today. Lord, I love you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we saw where Paul was reminding them again of their association with Christ and with his church. Amen. As he called them brethren. I don't know if you know this or not, but you are associated with the church of the living God. Now, I don't want River Valley Baptist Church just being plop another church in Woodstock, because I do believe that we are one of the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I did not believe that, I'd be leaving today and I'd be going as fast as I could, and I'd be finding a church that I thought was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe strongly about that. You cannot please the Lord apart from one of his churches. Amen. You need to be a part of it. You need to be focused in it. You need to be flourishing, and you can be fruitful in that church. Amen. He then exhorts them to walk in a way that pleases God, following the example of Christ and the Lord and Paul, his apostle. This his apostle. This was not something that they were unable to do. Now, when I told this before, and I've said it time and time again, I'm going to say it over again. The Lord never commands us to do something that we cannot do. You say, well, yes, preacher, but I sin. I find myself sinning. I know the Bible says there's a man, there no man that sinneth not. I understand that. But he has given us every tool that he has. And we have everything that we have to live a life apart from sin. But yet we choose over and over, and we find ourselves in sin. I thank God for our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, who is there standing for us. And I'm glad that yes, we have the accuser of the brethren, that he goes and he is accusing us. If you are saved, he is accusing us day and night, the Bible says. And I want to make sure that if he is accusing, that it's not something that's true. I want to make sure that he's a liar and he's the father of lies. Amen. And I want to make sure that I'm serving the Lord, and I want to please the Lord in everything that I do. And so we find that when we are given a command, there's an example of showing us how we can carry out that command by somebody in the Word of God that was recorded for us. Now, I hope we are all aware of the need for purity in our lives, and the obligation that we have to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. I hope that we are thinking about this every day, that what we do, what we say, what we think can put us out of fellowship with our Lord. And then we need to be careful over and over, be constantly guarding ourselves so we don't say something we shouldn't say. I come in the house yesterday morning after a very terrible morning. And I told Joe, I said, I just need to pray a little bit, because I said, I'm really close. I said, I've been fighting hard to stay in fellowship with the Lord today, because I said, everything's going wrong. And this old flesh wants to get out of sorts with the Lord, wants to get upset, wants to start hollering and doing things because I'm not pleased. But who am I? Who am I? A nobody. We find ourselves getting to that point. We just need to bow our heads, drop to our knees, and say sorry for being not a very good Christian, amen, to whoever who we were talking to whoever we were just spouting off words to being a miserable person to be around, and ask our Father to forgive us in heaven. I hope we're aware of we need to live lives that glorify our Lord, but I find that many times we fail in fulfilling that obligation over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but I've been challenged as I've studied this passage. And I've been reminded over and over of my responsibility to live an upright life before the Lord, and seeking to imitate a life that He lived. It's not just about salvation. It's not just about following Jesus, but it's about being saved, becoming a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and about imitating Him in His every point that in His life. He said, well, how can we do that? We have the Holy Spirit of God that is dwelling within us to guide us. When you feel that inside saying, don't do that. Listen, you better take heed and you better not do that. No, it's not your conscience, although our conscience can be used by the Holy Spirit of God. But most likely it's the Spirit of God guiding and directing us. In verse 2, Paul speaks of the commandments they were given of the Lord. Not the commandments of men, but of the Lord. What Paul wrote in these verses was nothing new to the Thessalonians. In the few weeks he was with them, he instructed them in these basic matters of Christian morality. Paul knew it was important to instruct new believers in these things. It's important. We give out what we have around here. When a person is saved, we give out what we call the ABCs of Christian growth. And you say, well, what does that mean? It works through all through the ABCs of telling a Christian for A, this is what this means. This is how you should walk. This is what you should do. And it helps a new believer to grow in the Lord. So Paul knew it was important to instruct these new believers in the things of Christ, the things that he had given them a charge to fulfill and a life to live and a ministry to perform. And can I say this was not an option? It was an obligation. They were not just saying, well, okay, I mean, if you want to, you can. But it was commands. You know, the Lord has not just merely suggested that we live according to His word, but He has commanded that we do so. Do we understand that? Yeah, well, the preacher said, you know what the preacher said the other day? He said something about this. I know that's there, but man, that's so old fashioned. I said in a meeting one time when they were talking about bringing a deacon in to the church and electing a deacon. And one of the men said, yeah, but he has been married before. And another man said, I know, but that's been way in the past. I mean, we don't think like that anymore. When you start thinking apart from the Word of God, you're going to lose some things. As a church, you lose the right to be a church any longer. You do not hold to the doctrines of Scripture. I don't know if you know this, folks, but there was a fight to the death for our church there for a while to hold to some scriptural doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was people that fought it tooth and nail and did whatever they could do to try to bring this church down, to try to make it conform to other churches, to an unscriptural church. But praise the Lord, God has brought us together and we're going to stay faithful. It's not because of who we are. But it's because of who our Savior is. Commandments are for the Old Testament, many people would say today. I believe that's one of the biggest hindrances and pitfalls for modern day Christians. Or should I say modern day so-called Christians. Many, even those who are willing to serve the Lord, treat His word and His desire for us as if it was just a buffet. Kind of take what you want and leave what you don't want. But the word of God is not just take what you want and, you know, skip over what you don't want. Listen, folks, I'm trying to encourage you. I really am. I take when the Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I take that as, you know, the Lord saying there's a principle there. If we memorize Scripture, it's going to keep us from sin. There's nothing you can do. There is nothing that you will ever do that's going to keep you from sin with your own power. You will always give in on your own power. We need the Lord's help on that. We don't have to have the right to pick and choose when it comes to the things of God. We are commanded and obligated to live according to His will. You know, we cannot read a passage of Scripture and pretend it doesn't exist or pretend it doesn't apply to us. Now, I understand that there's passages of Scripture talking to Israel. There's passages of Scripture talking to a specific people. But all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture. So don't tell me, yeah, well, we don't need this part anymore and we don't need that part anymore, because it is unprofitable if you think that way. Very unprofitable. You know, some might make light of the precepts of holiness and they start to mock them because they hear them from men. But they are God's commands, and to break them is to despise God. When a preacher stands behind the pulpit and he says, "Thus saith the Lord," if it is the word of God, it is not the voice of the man, but it's the word of God. It's the voice of God sending out commandments. And you do not have a right to say, "I will not do that." Because that's the commandments of God. That's our Lord. First thing I want you to notice is here in verse 2, it says, "For ye know." For ye know. He's appealing to their memory and confirmation of what he had said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says this, "For ye know." I like those words. Amen. I like those. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." You might be rich. One of the great things about being a Baptist is we know what we believe, or we should. There's no excuse if we don't. One of the things about being part of River Valley Baptist Church is we don't meet together to decide what our doctrine is going to be. Our doctrine has already been set. And can I say this? The doctrine that we hold to this day, I want you, this is important, because the doctrine that our church holds to has been held to by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ since the time of the apostles. Amen. I truly believe that. And if I found something that wasn't, I believe we would change it as a church, because we desire to serve our Lord. Amen. But can I say this? We try to steadfastly continue in the apostles' doctrine. But if we decided tomorrow and we had a meeting and we decided that we're going to stop using just exclusively one Bible and we're going to start using other Bibles, you know what that would do to our doctrine? It would destroy our doctrine. We no longer could say we hold to this. We no longer could believe in eternal security. Although we would have to twist certain things, we'd have to go back to the Greek. We'd have to quote people like John Calvin, who was all this. We'd have to quote people like Martin Luther and try to say, well, we believe this because this is what they taught. I don't want to go back and to listen to the old men that taught certain things that didn't even know Scripture, that were trying to reform the Catholic Church. I want to go to the Word of God, and that God says, "Thus saith the Lord," and I want to hold to that. And I believe we have a book today that we can hold to. He says, "For you know." Praise the Lord. I like being a part of a scriptural church. We are not a secret society. We don't hide what we believe. I know that we are accused of hiding certain things, but we're open. We're very open. We even have a web page now where you can go on there and you can read our doctrine. It does not cover everything that we believe, but it's some of the cardinal doctrines that we hold to as a church. We don't believe and follow the teachings of a hierarchy. We don't believe that we need to listen and have a board meeting to see where we're going to go and what direction. Thank God we don't have a doctrine that we take a vote on to say, are we going to believe that doctrine or are we not going to believe that doctrine? Because it's not up to us to decide what we're going to do about a doctrine. As Dad said this morning, God said it, that settles it. And doesn't matter if we believe it or not. You can either choose to be right or you can choose to be wrong. We follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our one and only head. We don't meet to discuss what our doctrine will be. We don't establish our church doctrine. As other churches go around, as they would gather with conventions and what have you, to discuss what direction they will go and what doctrine and what they will allow and what they will not allow, We have the Word of God. I'm not standing here today as the head of River Valley Baptist Church. I'm just part of the River Valley Baptist Church. Jesus Christ is the head of River Valley Baptist Church. And I say this, the Bible is not our final authority. Oh, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I can say that. The Bible is not our final authority. Meaning, we would search everything else to see if it's so. And the final thing that we would go to would be the Bible. And that would make the Bible our final authority. The Bible is not our final authority. The Bible is our sole authority. Meaning, no matter what man says, no matter what doctrine man may drum up, the Bible is our sole authority. It's the first thing we should consider with when we are studying doctrine. It's important. No matter what other books or teachers may say, if they agree with the Word of God, praise the Lord. But if they don't, it doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change the truth. So we see, we know, for we know. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that we do know some things. Amen. He goes on to say, what commandments we have, or what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Not merely by his authority, but by means of him, so that these commandments did not proceed from Paul, but from the Lord Jesus Christ. They came revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. He revealed them to Paul. I see Paul pinned them down. Paul was writing the very words of God. It's important we understand that. We have here in this chapter and throughout the book of Thessalonians, the commandments which he had gave to these people and to us today. They were commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15:10 says this, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 14:15 says this, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Can I say, once again, we do not have the right to choose if we will live for him or if we will live for ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Can I say this? The Bible's not old-fashioned. People say, well, that's just an old-fashioned book. It's not an old-fashioned book. It's an eternal book. It's a book that has been settled before time. It'll be a book that's settled after time. Praise the Lord. The Bible is how we know that we are saved. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That ye may know that you have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We can know that we're saved. I can know that I'm saved today. And I know if I do slip up and I break that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank God that I can go to him and I can confess those sins and restore that fellowship. But I did not have to restore the salvation because it's not up to me to keep my salvation. It's not up to me to keep my salvation. Can I say, listen, the history of man will teach us that man is not capable of really keeping anything. It always deteriorates. I was just on the internet the other day, and a preacher from the past who stood faithful and true on the Word of God. And I got on the page. He's passed just not too long ago. He passed away. And I got on the webpage of the church, and you'd have thought it was a rock concert going on Sunday morning. With the lights a-flashing, I mean, they had it bebopping in there, I'm telling you. And everybody in there was glorified except the Lord Jesus Christ. And once where there was a great church, has no right to call themselves a church any longer. Because they have lost that right. When they departed from the faith, they departed from the doctrines of the Word of God. The Bible shows us how we are, how we can know that we're saved. The Bible shows us how we are to walk. In verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. He tells us in 1 John 2, verse 6, he says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. He said, if you are saved, this is how you're going to walk. Can I say this today? And I've said it over and over and over again. If your life has convictions that are based off of what you see in your pastor and his family, stop it immediately. If your life has convictions that you look around and you see that what we have in our church and in the churches that we hold to, I'm saying you're doing it for the wrong reasons. It should be because the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, has spoken to your heart and has established something in you. There is things that I know, that I know, that I know, that I will die holding to because I believe them, because the Scripture teaches them, and the Holy Spirit of God has revealed them to me. Man, folks, I'm adamant about it. When people ask, well, what about homeschooling? You think we should homeschool? I usually say, well, what's the Lord say about it? What has the Lord said to you about it? In my life, with my family, it's a Bible conviction that I hold to. It's not something that I, just because I was done that way, because we had to pray about it. You see, yes, I was homeschooled. Josie was homeschooled, and she went to school some too, but a lot of life she was homeschooled, and it's like, well, yeah, because you were homeschooled and your parents taught you that's the way it should be. But no, it came to time we said, this is what our parents taught. Was that right? Because I don't want to continue in something that wasn't scripturally right. Until the Bible gave us a conviction. And gave us a conviction. That's just one small point in our life. Why we would do certain things that the Bible gives us conviction. He said, well, Pastor, what would you do if tomorrow they said, it is outlawed. You're no longer allowed to homeschool. Well, I guess I'd probably do the same thing they would do if they said, no longer can you read the Word of God. Because it is better to obey God than man. The Bible shows us how we are to walk. The Bible shows us how we are to talk. A memory verse is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness in fear. The meekness toward man and the fear toward God. You don't have to fear man. You don't have to fear man. When you give man the gospel, knowing that that message that you're giving that man or that lady or that child is the only message that's going to save them from eternal flames. The Bible shows us how we are to walk. The Bible shows us how we are to love. Ephesians 5 verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. We are to walk in love as Christ loved. That's a hard order, but that's what the Bible commands that we are to do. The Bible shows us how we are to forgive. And I'll just be totally honest with you, sometimes for me, this is hard. It's hard. The Bible shows us how we're for to give in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The Bible shows us also how we are to think. How we are to think. You say, well, listen now, when the government start teaching us how to think and what we should say, no, I'm not talking about the government, I'm talking about the Word of God. He says, this is how you are to think. We say, what do you mean by that? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what are the last words? Think on these things. Think on these things. The Bible shows us how we are to pray. It says it here in the same, the very next chapter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. I know it's a crude illustration, but when I was a little kid, I knew that verse. Who can't learn that verse? Amen. I mean, three words, pray without ceasing. I mean, you could learn that verse. That's an easy one. Now, I can remember little being a little kid, and I can remember laying in bed at night thinking, what does that mean? What does that mean?
And I believe it's this. I don't believe I've conquered it all, but I do believe it's this, to live a life that you can pray constantly. You know how it happens when something goes wrong in our life? Somebody gets the news that, you know, they're struggling with their health or something like that. What's the first thing we do? We go before God and we start confessing our sins. Why? Because we want to get our prayers answered. But we should live a life every single day. You say, well, preacher, is that how you live it? I strive to, but I certainly struggle deeply with it. To live a life where we can pray to the Lord every time, and the Lord hears us, and the Lord answers our prayers. Pray without ceasing. The Bible shows us how we are to pray. You see, what you hold in your hands today is just not another book. It's not something that it's just been, whatever, it doesn't matter. I like when people bring a Bible to church. Now, if you didn't bring a Bible here today, I'm not preaching against you because you didn't bring a Bible. But I would encourage you to get a Bible and bring it to church and hold it. Because you know what would never happen to this? The battery would never run out. Amen. I'll never be reading this and all of a sudden, oh, I got to go plug it in, let it charge up a little bit. You know what I'll never get from this? I'll never receive an email. I'll never get a text that interrupts me when I'm reading the Word of God. Oh, I'll get a text, all right, and it'll be from the Lord God. And He'll give me a text. You know what? I won't have to worry about this. I won't have to worry about the mother-in-law calling on it. Amen. I won't have to worry about my brother calling me at supper time. But I can hold it and I can open it up. And the Lord speaks to my heart because it's a living book. It's a living book. Praise the Lord. It shows us how we're to live. This is a precious book. It's a precious book that many millions have had their blood shed as they held to the teachings of our Lord that were found within the pages of this precious word. I you know, there's many Bibles. We have many Bibles in our homes. Think about this. If we all decided today that we're going to get rid of, or maybe not get rid of them, but we'll donate them to somebody who wants to have an old-fashioned book where they can actually turn the pages and read it. But we're going to go modern a little bit. We're going to up it. We're going to use it on our tablets and our phones and our computers. I use it on my phone a lot of times. So don't say, well, he's preaching hard against it. I do. I use it sometimes. If I'm out and I don't have a Bible on me, I'll pull out my phone and I'll pick it up. And if I'm with our memory passages, I'll pull that up so I can memorize to make sure that I'm right. Sometimes when I'm in the woods, if I'm quoting scripture and I just keep, something just keeps going wrong and I'm saying a verse wrong, I'll pull it up and I praise the Lord for that. Amen. Most of the time I have a Bible in my truck. We're in the van. Right now there's a little Bible I have in the van because I've been driving the van this weekend. But when I'm in my truck, it goes in my truck. It's the Word of God. I hold it close. Amen. But what if today the government said, you know what? Or we decided we're going to do away with the old-fashioned ink and paper. We're going to save trees. We're no longer going to print Bibles. You know, we're going to join the Association of the Tree Huggers, and we're going to save all the trees. And we're going to be promoting forest fires because we're not cutting trees anymore. We're going to let them burn, baby, burn. And so we decided we're going to get rid of those and we're going to use them on our tablets. I guess you could say I'm not a tree hugger, amen. So we say we're going to use our tablets, our phones, our computers. And we donate all our Bibles to a good cause. We send them off into a foreign land somewhere where they don't have the technology that we have to hold our Bibles in our hand. And a few weeks later, the government says they no longer want you reading the Bible. I don't care. I still got it on my phone. I still got it on my computer. I still got it on my tablet. Do you know what they can do? He said, well, no, they can't. They can get on your phone. Well, I would never give it to them. They can get on your computer. They can get on your tablet and erase that. Well, I would never give it to them. So they don't have to come to your house. They can sit somewhere and with a few pushes of a buttons, they'll be on your phone and it's shut down for good. Never been to be used again. Well, they can't do that. Yes, they can. Governments have done it all over the world. I'm thankful that I have the Word of God.
I'd encourage you to have a Bible. I'm going to close with this poem. It was written by a preacher in Michigan. It goes like this. I heard the old-time preacher speak without one reference to the Greek. This precious book within my hand is God's own word on which I stand. And then the scholars came along and said the preacher had it all wrong. Conflations here, recisions there, and scribal errors everywhere. A book essentially correct, but not in every last respect. A fairly certain word, they said, to light our path and guide our way. Then in despair, I bowed my head. We have no word of God, I said. If some of this old book is wrong, pray tell what else does not belong. Will still more manuscripts be found to make us go another round? Correcting, changing, taking out, creating questions, fear, and doubt. Must more discoveries come to light before we finally get it right? Will precious doctrines fade away because of what the scholars say? How many errors must we purge because of what the scholars urge? How many versions must we make? How many changes can we take? How will we even ever know we're through that we possess a scripture true? If man must find God's word, my friend, when will the changes ever end? Then to the book again I fled to find out what my father said. Forever settled, never fade, this promise God the Spirit made. 1,000 generations hence, that seems a pretty strong defense. A perfect book, then it must be, can't improve what God gave me. We have a book completely true, instructing us in all we do. Preserved by God, not found by men. Inscribed by God, the Spirit's pen. If God or scholars you must choose, if God or scholars you must choose, be sure the experts always lose. Don't give them a second look. Just keep believing this old book. One of the things that God's people have always held to is the Word of God, the purity of Scripture. If we lose that, we lose so much more than we'll ever know. No matter what name the churches of the Lord Jesus have been known by, they stood faithful to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were found in the Word of God. We have a warning given to us in Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Folks, I'm not saying anybody that uses a version other than the Word of God is an unsaved infidel. But I am saying, as sincere as they may be, they are sincerely wrong. And I do believe, sincerely, with my whole heart, that those versions were brought about by the father of lies, the devil, to confuse God's people, to confuse us on doctrine, to confuse us on church teaching, on history, to confuse us and destroy us. I'm glad we hold to the one book. Amen. I'm glad we know what we believe, and I'm glad we know why we believe it. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know what I believe, not because Andrew Nisley says this is what you need to believe, but because the Word of God says it, and the Word of God will never lead you astray. Our church has doctrine. We don't get our doctrine from another church or from a board over here or from a scholar or from a Bible college. We get it from the Word of God. May God help us to stay true and faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts now. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to live our lives that will be pleasing to you, that we'd base our lives off the Word of God, Lord, and we wouldn't err from Scripture and from your teachings. Father, if there be one here today that does not know for sure that they're saved, I pray, Lord, that they would change that today. Lord, they'd realize their need of a Savior. Lord, I love you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.